Greetings to the congregation. We also welcome those who have traveled far to come and attend our service. Those who have not seen for a while, we welcome those who are worshiping from home. And the lesson of today is learn to obey God. This is the independent days of the U.S., but in God, we are not independent. We have freedom, but we do not have independence from the Lord. The life of a Christian must be dependent on the Lord. Each details of our lives must be dependent on the Lord. We must think about how we learned how to obey the Lord. And when Jesus came into the world in human form, this mission that he received from the Lord God is to die on the cross for the human race, to pay for our sin. Though he is son, he learned obedience from what he suffered, and once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. So we need to be obedient, to be dependent on the Lord. We do not take advantage of the freedom to do what we want, but to learn to be obedient to the Lord, to experience all the blessings that the Lord has given. There are two Christians. They are friends in the same church. One is a worker in a shipyard. Another one has a business. And the worker at the shipyard told the business person who has the shop, saying, "You are a Christian, and on Sunday you should close your shop to worship the Lord. And on Sunday we have to set aside some time to worship God." And so the business person said, "But you know that Sunday is the busiest day, and I earn a lot of income on Sunday." And the other worker said, "But if you want to close your shop, and if you think that that's something that you should do, then God will continue to bless you." And that word from the worker of the shipyard made him think. And so he wanted to close on Sunday. He decided to close on Sunday. But he feel a little bit worried that his income may not be the same as before. A week later, the ship is docking, and as the worker, "Do you know here any trustworthy shop that I can buy some goods? But I don't know who or what shop to go, so can you recommend?" And so this worker introduced this businessman that has a shop there to the captain of the ship. And surprisingly, this captain decided to buy a lot of goods from this shop of this businessman. And a few days later, another ship docked and asked this worker, "Do you know any shop that is trustworthy?" And this second ship bought a lot of goods from this business shop, this man. And then this business discovered to learn how to obey the Lord. Will continue, the Lord will bless this person. So let us think about, understand that in our life, to be obedient is something that's easy, but we have to learn how to be obedient to the Lord. There are two points that we learn together today. That is, the obedience is for victory, and then to obey to be saved.
your intention for a week of fast. So,
let's pray for guidance. Dear Lord, we thank you for a week of fasting. Though among us, we are facing certain burdens in life. We have lost a brother, a friend. We pray that your comfort will be on the family members and those who are also relatives in Vietnam. We ask for your strengthening of those who are old when our health is deteriorating. But we are thankful for their faithfulness that each Sunday to come and worship the Lord. May your love to carry all your children just like your pupil of your eyes. We lift this hour up. May you teach each one of our hearts. May my words that I will say will be blessed to encourage each one of us here. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's think about obey for victory. It's the first point. When God knew Joshua to replace Moses to lead the Israel across Jordan. And at that time, the Jordan is very swift and they could not know how to cross the Jordan. 2 million people must cross the Jordan at the time when the water was deep in Jordan. And the Lord has made a miracle that the priest carried the Ark of the Covenant when their feet touched the water, and then the water parted. And the water stopped, and there was a road across Jordan, just like they experienced at the Red Sea. And that miracle had happened, but now they were facing another problem. As the first town is Jericho, and this is the promised land that God has promised 430 years ago, and now they are putting their feet on the promised land. And all those times in the wilderness, they were nourished. All the miracles happened each day, but now, before putting in front of a strong wall of Jericho, how can they overcome Jericho? And that night, Joshua went out and looked at the wall. How could the army of the Lord can destroy this town of Jericho? And he saw that someone came to him. He asked, do you belong to us or to the enemy? And that person said, I am the general of the army of God. I come to lead you and the people of Israel. And because of that vision, Joshua just encouraged to be strengthened, knowing that Joshua must defeat the first city, a very strong city of Jericho. But he doesn't know how. And God told Joshua, see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horn in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse, and the army will go up, everyone straight up. The first thing that to obey the Lord to achieve victory, that is to be based on the promise of God. Jericho is the first city of the promised land in Canaan. It's very strong, but God has a promise to the Israel from the forefathers of Israel. God will give the promised land to them. So when the Israel came, God, how can they inherit the inheritance that God has promised them? Joshua felt that worry about before this very strong it deters. Now I have delivered Jericho into your hands, the Lord said to Joshua in verse 2. God has a promise clearly to Abraham, and now God has a promise to Joshua, who is responsible to lead the people into the promised land. Now I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. Verse 2. We have victory based on the promise of God. But God does not give his promise to satisfy our own desire. God gives his promise, but God to achieve in each of our lives. Jericho is something that is given to the Lord to Israel. So God promised, I have delivered Jericho into your hands along with its king and its fighting man. So we need to understand there are certain things that God is promising us, and it is guaranteed because that is something God wants to achieve in our life. Jericho is a stronghold, but a very strong with two a double wall, and the outer wall it has a thickness. It's 6 feet. It's almost 2 meters, and the height of the wall is 20 feet. It's almost 6 meters tall. And inside there's another wall, and that wall is 12 feet thick, double the thickness of the outer wall, and 30 feet high. So between these two walls, there is about 15 feet, and above that, they built a system to walkway so the army can defend the wall. To destroy this wall 20 feet high is already a challenge. But if the wall is first is destroyed, then the second wall is 12 feet thick, 30 feet high. In the way, the strategy, this is very, very strong city and cannot be destroyed physically by human effort. But here, the Lord has a promise to Joshua and the people of Israel. I have delivered Jericho into your hands. And in that promise, God knew that how this wall can be collapsed. And the way that the wall could collapse, that the city of Jericho will be the inheritance that God gives to the people of Israel. And God has its strategy. It's very strange in this battle, and that strategy is walk around the city with all the army, and must walk in this around the city 6 days. Nothing else. Every day, the army will walk around the city. They do not allow to talk or shout out, and must walk in silence around, and must do that in 6 days. What kind of strategy is that? There is no expression, no showing of the strength. There is nothing that the enemy must worry, just walking around during return to their camp. The Jericho felt proud that they have built a strong wall for the city, and the fact that the people of Israel can walk around like that, nothing will happen to the city of Jericho. And so there's no one can defeat this time. And 6 day, and on 7 day, and the way that they walk must follow what God has instructed them, and that is the guard would go first after the seven priests carry the trumpets made of the ram's horn, and from there is the Ark of the Covenant to represent the presence of the Lord, and the the Levites will carry, and after that, it's another army of the Lord, and behind that are the regular army of the Israel people. They have to keep a distance between themselves and the Ark of the Covenant. And when they cross the Jordan to come into Jericho, God said, the distance must not be close to the Ark of the Covenant. There must be a distance between the army and the Ark. Why? Because the Ark of Covenant represents the holiness of the Lord. The Ark of Covenant must be first, but the Ark of Covenant is holy because it represents the presence of the Lord. So the normal people could not approach the Ark of the Covenant. The victory is that God must walk first before us in all, because He is holy. The holy, we could not destroy the holiness of the Lord by approaching the Ark. There's a woman in Africa has the Lord, heart for the Lord. Every day, she bake a cake to sell, and she's poor, and she tried to make a living by doing that. And she promised to have a tenth of her income, and then she gave that as an offering to the Lord, one tenth of her income from the business. One day she was fall sick, so she stopped her business, and she was worried that she does not have to know how to support, and she could not give to the missionary there to carry out the gospel that she has been used to do. And she prayed to the Lord, "May you give us strength, Lord. And if I get strength to return to business, then I will promise that even the first week, I will give one third of my income from the business." And she said to the missionary, "I will give one third of my income from my business if God allow me to return to work." And then she was well again. She planned that she would sell for 3 shillings. And it's a very large sum of money for her. Then when she put out the plan, in the first week, if we have 3 shillings, and that is very large sum of money for her. And 2 days later, and she took the money, 1 shilling, to the missionary, saying, 1 shilling I have promised to the Lord, and I give this to the Lord. And this missionary was surprised. Is it that you only see 3 shillings? But only 2 days, you already have 3 shillings. And the lady said, "Oh, Pastor, do you think that I have to wait until the end to 1 shilling or the third one? This is the 1 shilling that I have received, and that belongs to the Lord. 2 shillings or belong to me. I will give it later." The faith to express our faith, that is faith in the Lord. It's not something easy, but it must be the priority in our lives. Yours and mine, when we put our faith in the Lord, is God the priority, first priority in our lives, to be obedient to the Lord? The plan of the Lord for Joshua is very difficult to understand, but Joshua must be faithful and believe when the Lord wants for them to walk around in silence. Then we must obey. Only one surrounding one after 7 days. So surrounding the city, walk around them one time. And on the 7th day, 7 times around, they must follow There is no argument. There is no other deviation from what the Lord has instructed them. Why do we have to do this? No one was questioning what the Lord instructed. Must obey. Then we can have victory. And they carry out those instructions faithfully. The Ark of the Covenant has been carried and the army follow. After the 6 day, one surround the city one day. On the 7th day, and according what the Lord promised, when the trumpet was blown and all the Israel must give a loud shout. It's very strange. A destruction of a strong wall, not by detonation, by effort, human or something, but only by a shout. If the shout is too loud to destroy the wall, I don't think so. Of course not. But the loud represent, this is the shout of victory. This is not by fear, but the shout of victory to praise the Lord. And when this shout out is expressed, and the walls collapse, according to the scripture in verse 20, when the trumpet was blown, they were shouting, and then the wall collapsed. Everyone continued to charge straight in, and they took the city. Two thick wall. The prowl of the Jericho people now has been collapsed before the loud shout of victory of the Israel people. Your and mine life, do we have the praise of the Lord? And all that the Lord has promised for you and me in the Bible, do we believe in those promises to obey of what God has instructed? Or are those very difficult to understand sometimes? We have to pay the price to be obedient, but the obedience to victory demands us to have a complete obedience. Jericho has collapsed, not because of the shout, but because of the obedience of the children of the Lord. Carry out the Lord's instruction. Your life and mine, there are many Jerichos has prevented us from getting closer to Lord. In this pandemic, maybe there is a Jericho to prevent us from worship the Lord. The difficulty of the economic condition may be a reason to prevent us from worshiping the Lord. Or the sickness, or the weakness in our body may be a way to prevent us from worshiping the Lord. There are so many Jerichos very strong in our life has prevented us to come to our promised land. Remember, obedience will give us victory. To obey the Lord is the way that we can have victory in our life. It doesn't occur not only in our system, but this can happen in our lifetime when our children know how to obey them. In 1987, there's a pastor named Raffo in Hungary. He went to Romania to serve the Lord there in a church. And Romania at that time is under the communist regime. When this pastor came to Romania, it's very different from the pastor before him because of this is under communist regime. And all the pastors before him has to follow the instruction of the communist regime to exist, to make the church continue to exist. But this pastor, name is Paslo, he does not want to agree to the communist party, but obey the word of God. How the Lord instructed him to follow the Bible and obedience. Praise the Lord. That has encouraged all the believers in that church. And they came and worshiped the Lord, very a big crowd. 5,000 in that church came. And that caused the government of Romania to very unfamiliar with that. And there are many has been the secret police and had beat them, some of them, persecuted them, and some of them were missing. The list of the Christian members is on the list of the people being followed by the secret police. The doesn't matter what the government policy is. The church has grown. Though there are missing those or living by the government, persecuted, but the church continued to grow. And finally, the government, Cosescu of Romania at that time, he planned to use violence to dispose this pastor from the church. And on the 15th chapter, 15 December 1989, the governor Cosescu called the secret police to come and surround the church to capture this pastor using force. But when they came, they saw all the members of the church standing around the church. These Christians would not allow the government to come inside the church to dispose of this pastor. And when they hold the torch in their hand, they encourage others to do the same, and others continue to come and come and become a big crowd and surrounding this church. And the army of the government could not come into the church to capture the pastor. And we feel like this is a protesting violence, but they did it in the faith that they want to protect the worship. Must be a worship appropriate with the word of God, not because of how they want to do it, but according to the scripture. And that happened and began to the end of the communist regime in Romania. In only 10 days, Cosescu government was destroyed, and Romania has been change in terms of the policy from communism, turn away from communism. This is a miracle. Came from being obedient to the Lord, to depending on God as promised. So I encourage each one of us, remember, in the Lord, we are free, so that, but we are not independent. We do not depend on ourselves. We depend on the Lord. The second point, let's think about this. Obey to be saved. When the Jericho collapsed, in verse 17, all the saying, all that's in are to be devoted to the Lord. Whether it's the inheritance or the animal, all of that has been cursed. But there is only one Rahab, the prostitute, and all who are with her in her house shall be spared, because she hid the spies we sent. The whole town of Jericho has been destroyed, but only there is one house standing. The whole town has been collapsed. Everybody was entered and destroyed. But only Rahab and her relatives survived. And that family, our relatives, all that must be saved from the battle must go into the house. And that is the house of Rahab. Why? Why is the house of Rahab special? Why were they saved? And we see it in Joshua. Before attacking the town Jericho, Joshua sent two spies to Jericho to learn about their the people there. But when the two spies someone has reported to the king of Jericho that the Israel have sent spies to spy on us, and they went into the house of Rahab. And the king will send the soldier to Rahab. The two spies have entered your house. Bring them out here. And what do we see? Should Rahab reveal? And that is a very difficult situation. But Rahab has hit the spy up on the rooftop. And from there, and all it was covered by and so they covered the two spies with all that they have to disguise. But Rahab lied. They came, but they already went. In this Rahab, we see that this lady has nothing good about her. First, she's a woman is not respected at that time. Only men were respected during that time. The second one, she's a prostitute. Is a bad person that can cause other families to suffer. She did not do anything worthy. And this is also a Gentile. And with respect to Israel, it has no value. So she belonged to someone that must be destroyed along with the people of Jericho. But during this time, God has saw something good about Rahab. What is it? That is the faith of this woman. There are many bad things, but there is one that is her faith in the Lord. And God continued to accept that woman. Rahab was originally has made money with if she revealed the spies, but she did not want that reward from the king. She wanted a reward more eternal from the Lord. So she expressed a faith in the Lord. Her faith here, first, that what she has heard about the God of Israel, what did she hear? In Joshua chapter 2, in verse 8, she said to the spies that she said that, verse 10, I know that when you escape Egypt, God has caused the Red Sea to part for you to cross over. And so when you fought the king of Sihon, king of Og, God has made a miracle. When the Israel left this Egyptian facing the Red Sea, and after behind them are the Egyptian army, and then God parted the Red Sea so that the people can cross over. She heard about that. But does something she heard is accurate what the events happened? And she heard, and before crossing the Jordan River, they asked the Ammonite king, Sihon, let us cross the city to come that God has promised us. But Sihon said, no, I would not let you pass through my country. God allowed Israel to destroy them, Ammonite, and kill Sihon. And then to Bashan, he met King Og. The king of Bashan then also Og prevented the Israel from passing the country. I have let Sihon, Ammon into your hands. Now I will give king of Bashan into your hand as well. And Israel has destroyed the people under the king of Sihon. And Rahab had heard of this. And it was all accurate. Your faith and mine must be a faith, must be based on the Lord. But remember, this truth must be from the Bible. When we heard from others, what we have heard from each other, is it the truth or not? Or it's just a habit? The fact that Rahab is pleasing to the Lord is that she heard of and she understood, and what she heard is accurate, but she must understood in a correct way. Verse 9, she said to the spy, I know that the Lord has given you this land. This is my country. She said that God has given my country to the other people. But she said, I know the Lord, your Lord, has given you this land. And the great fear you has fallen on earth. So she saw the reality of the fear of their people before the Lord. In verse 11, she said, when we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear. Your Lord is the Lord of heaven above and on the earth below. She has an understanding of the God of Israel in an accurate way. And all that understanding came because of how she understands. God gives us a wisdom, but do we know how to use our mind to think about what the Lord is telling us? This lady is a very ordinary woman. She is not very educated. She would not be a prostitute if she's well educated. She's just ordinary, but with her wisdom that God has given her, she understood how God will act. And through our understanding, is it clear? Do we understand the Lord clearly? Or we just hearing and then deceive ourselves? What does a woman learn is that she expressed her faith through her actions. What she did is very risky. She hid the spies from a foreign country in her house. If Jericho said, I want to examine your house, and obviously she would die. And that risk has caused Esther, her to encourage her to hide the spy. But God allowed a wisdom to resolve the issue. That is, she deceived the soldier of Jericho. Are there spies there? They came, but now they have left along the Jordan River. Why don't you pursue them there? And when they went there to pursue, and then the gate of the city, so the soldier were outside. And with this condition, her house is near to the walls of the city. So she lowered the spy and told her, now go to the mountain. That means the way, the direction that she pointed is opposite what the armies were pursuing that along the Jordan. You stay up on the mountain 3 days, wait for the soldier to return, and then you can go. We know that this action has a riskiness in there, but also a wisdom there. When you and I can express our faith in the Lord, that faith is not to take risk, but requires a decision that could be risky. We must have a decision, a bold, that we don't do wrong things. That is, we would not do anything that's unthinkable, but be bold in faith in our decision to act, based on the wisdom the Lord gave us. May your actions and mine is concrete, is not something you're just not saying in our lips. And Rahab has expressed her faith and has done things. She expressed what she has heard, her faith, and she acted according to what she understood the Lord of Israel could do and what she wished. Has been a wisdom, and she told in verse 12, she says like this, now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign. She asked for her whole family to be saved. In verse 13, that you will spare the lives of my father and mother, my brothers and sister, and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death. She said to the spies. She has caused that herself and her relatives to be saved after Jericho's burning. She wasn't concerned just herself, but also her relatives as well. She asked for the father, mother, my sister, brother, and my relatives in this town must be saved. She has a desire. She has a wish. And her wish to be alive is something that she wants her relatives to have in her family to experience the life-saving experience. So she has despite that promise. The congregation, what Rahab has wished, is that has been responded. All the spies in chapter 2, verse 10, verse 18 and 19, the spies said to him, "When we enter to you, you must tie a red ribbon near your window, and then call all your brother and sister, father, into the house. Whoever in those are go out, and that blood of that person will be on your head. You will not be responsible. But if anybody strike down one of your family member, their blood will be on our head. And we will keep our promise as a spy until ever." Perhaps said, "May your words come true." And then we have let the spy go. And so Rahab tied a red ribbon on the window. The two spies had a given a sign. A red ribbon. You must tie this on your window as a sign. Whoever in this house, who has stayed in the house, and that one will be saved. But if anyone wander out with this sign that go out, and their death is not the responsibility of the spy. Whoever is in the house, that will be saved, whoever stays within the house. And who belongs, if they wander outside the house, then they may face death. Here comes against the Bible saying, and then Rahab immediately tied a red ribbon on her window as a sign. And because the sign of salvation, your life and I, we wish that the Lord will save us and save our relatives. Do we do it now? While we have the condition and the opportunity, or the busyness of life prevented us from doing that. Many parents forgot that our children must be saved. Maybe we have forgotten our relatives must be saved. We have not tied the red ribbon on our window. And that represents the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I can only be saved in Christ. And outside of Jesus, there is no saving. Whoever that is. So that the necessary point for you and me is that when we put our faith in Christ, and truly the faith is not something like a blind faith, but it meant us to be enthusiastic. So it's just like we could not have superstition. When we just heard about the Lord and we do according to what other people tell us, that is blind faith. But when we do it in our understanding with all of our heart, that is enthusiastic. And God needs that kind of faith. God needs a desire of the word of the Lord, the Savior, because of our obedience. Do we desire, do we wish to in all our heart to be saved, or our worship is just imitating others? Imitation has no value. Saving grace comes from the heart to feel that we need the Lord and express that faith through our actions. There's a famous pastor, Dr. Martin Lloyd, wrote like this, where a lie consistently contradicts the profession, no matter how often or how strongly it is stated, that faith that they say they have is not saving faith. In other words, if your life does not demonstrate the change your words profess, then you probably do not possess saving faith. One more time. In other words, if your life does not demonstrate the change your words profess, then you probably do not possess saving faith. So we have to examine our life. Do we obey the Lord to be saved? To obey to be saved is an absolute thing. This lady has tied that ribbon to make a sign for her and her house could be saved. Rahab carried that out immediately. I hope have we done that like what Rahab has done, so that we and our relatives can be saved, our friends can also be saved, can experience that saved from sin. There's a story about a person in Chicago. He's selling paper and he's very poor. And when Chicago weather was very cold, and this put the boy, he sold just a few paper, but not all of them, because it's so cold. He came to the police officer and said, "Dear sir, is there a way to help a boy, a lost boy without home, to find a place to warm himself because it is so cold outside?" And the police officer looked at him and pointed him, and when he goes straight that way until you saw a white house and knock on the door. If somebody answers, you have to tell them, "Young John 3:16, and he listened to officer and followed that. He saw a white house and knocked on the door. And he saw a lady. "What do you need?" He said, "John 3:16. And that lady inside the house let him in. He was thinking, "This one, what is John 3:16? What happened?" Just say John 3:16 and he got let into the house. She let him to the fireplace, brought him food. And he said, he was thinking, "John 3:16, what is it that somebody hungry like me is welfare?" And after bake him, and he thought, "What is John 3:16 that a dirty boy like this can be have a bath in this house?" And she led him to a bed, very warm on that night. He thought, "What is John 3:16 that a boy like me can sleep in this bed?" And before, the lady asked, "Do you know what John 3:16 is?" "Yeah, I don't know. I've never seen but the officer told me to say, knock on the door, check John 3:16. And the lady said, "Dear son, John 3:16, that is a scripture verse in the Bible, is chapter 3, verse 16 of John. For God so loved the world, so that he gave his only begotten son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." And she used it to share the gospel. And that night, he opened his heart to receive Christ. And before he sleep, he said, "I don't know what John 3:16. I know he knows that. I'm a lost boy. Now I am fed in a place." And when I read that story, I want to encourage you. Maybe we do not understand all the mystery surrounding the gospel, that we may not understand all about the Lord, but what we have learned to receive, to obey the scripture, we will experience all the wonderful things that can happen to our life, including our relatives. Our Jesus Christ, though he was a son, suddenly he learned obedience from what he suffered. Once before, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. So obedience is also to give us victory, but also obedience can experience our saving life, that what is the Lord is expected in us to do. Obedience in the Lord. We have freedom. But the Lord does not want us to be independent from Him. Live depending on the Lord. So we can experience God's promises in our life. And this morning, we will have communion. And in our place, we have the cup and bread represent the body and blood of Christ. When he gave communion to his apostle, he said, that is, Paul has reported clearly, when you have communion, drink this cup and eat it to preach the death of Jesus Christ to others. And this is a sign, this is a remembrance that the Lord has established in our life. And when we carry out this remembrance, we have the responsibility that when you eat and drink of this cup and this bread, proclaim the death of Jesus Christ to others. So may the Lord this morning let us receive this communion representing the body and blood of Christ, to be worthy of God has given us through His Son Jesus Christ. Let's all stand. We will pray before communion. Dear our Heavenly Father, we give thanks to you because your promise to us we have in Christ. We praise you because of all the plan you have reserved for us. May you have mercy and let us experience all the wonderful things by learning how to obey the Lord. Our Christ has left us a model. Though he is son, he has learned to be obedient through his suffering. But when he has made all perfect, he became a salvation for all who obey and trust in you. We pray for mercy, your mercy on each one of us. When we hear your word, when we receive the cup and bread to represent your body and blood of Jesus Christ, so that we can carry out what we have been taught, so that we have a mind and a heart to carry out the action that you require of us, so that we know in the time of judgment, the day of Jericho, the world would collapse, and only those in Christ will survive this destruction of Jericho. May we be faithful in all that we have heard, that we have understood, that we have done, and in the things that we wish, may we experience the blessing in you. We thank you, Lord. May you bless each one of us from now until we can see you again. May we live, be worthy to be obedient of all that you have wanted us to. We thank you. May be worthy to receive this cup and bread this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.